VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Crosstalk. I'm Ingrid Schleter. We're so glad you joined us today for the program. We have a lot to talk about. I am looking at a website right now here in the studio, and it's entitled yahwehyoga.net. It says, Get Centered with Christ, and it features a woman in a lotus position. She has her hands outstretched, and they're using a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that refers to our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, come see why Christ-centered individuals are choosing Yahweh Yoga for their healthy lifestyle and self-care needs. Gain firsthand knowledge of why so many enjoy regularly attending our Christian yoga classes and transformational lifestyle workshops. Well, we're going to talk with a guest today who says that the terms Yahweh and yoga are in fact a contradiction in terms, and I hope that you'll be listening. If you know someone who's into Christian yoga, call them, get on the phone and give them a call to tune in to Crosstalk today, or get them a DVD, or I should say a CD, I'm sorry, after the program to give to them, because I think the information you're going to hear on the program today is tremendously useful. We have a deficit of discernment in the Church of Jesus Christ today, and it is taking out the next generation. In fact, it's taking a lot from my age group, the 40-somethings, the 30-something soccer moms that are out there today jumping into this kind of thing, thinking that they are connecting with Christ when, in fact, they are connecting with something very, very different. And the enemy is having a field day because we have left the authority of the Word of God and we are going along with feelings and experience. And that is a frightening thing to do. And with us today on the phone is someone who I am thrilled to have with us on the program today. I years ago watched her special on the Gods of the New Age and learned so much. At a very early age, I remember seeing some of the materials produced by Carol Matriciana, who's with us today. She's a veteran filmmaker, and she's a well-known expert on ancient and modern world religions, contemporary cults, paganism, and the occult. And she is a best-selling author, journalist, researcher, and commercial artist. She has co-produced and contributed research and expertise to more than 30 documentaries in over 25 years. For the past 23 years, Carol was the creative and marketing director for Jeremiah Films, a Southern California film company, a leader in documentary film production and video distribution, and she was instrumental in the research and production of many of the films covering a myriad of subjects and has also narrated several of them. And Carol, I could go on and on about some of the things you've been involved with, but I want to say a warm thank you for all the Christians who have benefited through the years with the work that you have put into it.
Well, thank you, Ingrid. I really appreciate your support, and it is just such a pleasure from the Lord to be able to produce films that are working when I'm sleeping, working all around the world to educate Christians, help them discern the times that we live in, because we are in dangerous times, which the Bible says are going to happen, that we will be in an apostasy. And in order to be an apostate, we have to be close to the faith at one time. So many are falling away from the faith, which is one of the warnings that we're told in the last days. And, of course, the faith is having faith in Jesus Christ and not in what we can do through our bodies, twisted either in yoga or any of the other things that we look to for self-transformation or self-care needs or whatever it is. We are turning away from the authority of the Word of God that says our sufficiency is in Christ.
Amen to that. Well, you have produced a DVD entitled Yoga Uncoiled from East to West. And the reason I'm so delighted to see this is because a lot of us have been writing things furiously on the internet trying to warn people about this. But you come at this from a very, from a perspective that many of us do not have. You actually grew up in India and were able to understand what yoga was in a way far better than someone growing up in American suburbs and who simply thinks this is the latest way to achieve personal fitness or peace or whatever. Tell us a little bit about the background on this DVD and how it came to be.
Well, as you say, I was born and raised in India, lived there for the first 20 years of my life, and certainly saw the centrality of yoga in Hinduism. No Hindu would admit that Hinduism and yoga can be separated. They absolutely can't. It's in the culture. It's a part of the whole concept of through one's own works getting connected with God consciousness that is seen to be the whole of nature. Everything is divinity. I grew up with the idea of realizing that all around me was divine and divinity, that nature, the animals, the cows in the street, the dogs that roam the streets, the monkeys in the temples and that fly from tree to tree along the sidewalks were just as divine as I was, supposedly, as a child. And I was actually born in Calcutta, and that is named after the goddess Kali. And Kali is the goddess of death, and she's the one that has her tongue sticking out of her mouth, rather like the lion posture in yoga, and it's dripping with blood, and she's got a garland around her neck with her 29 husbands' heads attached to the garland. And she needs human blood to appease her huge anger that comes out in her sort of display through nature. So if there are tornadoes or storms or huge rainfalls, it's because Kali has been upset and needs to be appeased. And all of this is part of goddess worship, mother goddess worship, which is all part of my growing up, that the river Ganges, while it was seen as the divine source of India and the map of India, is mother goddess herself. In the Ganges River, the buffaloes are washed, one's hair is washed, your teeth are cleaned, you do your morning toiletries in there, you have babies in the Ganges, you sit in the Ganges for many days to die so that your reincarnation cycle can be lessened, and also industry spews out all its toxic waste into the Ganges. And yet, in the sort of chaos and filth, it's seen as divinity. And so it's the god of confusion, the god of chaos, upside downness, if you will. And it's very extraordinary to live in that culture. But sweet people, very, very sweet people, the people I went to school with and grew up with, precious, precious people. India isn't focused in on Hinduism itself. There's Muslims that live there. My neighbors were Muslims, Christians, Baha'i faith, Jainism, Buddhism. It's all part of the Hindu culture, so it's a very interesting mix. And that taught me how to live side by side with people with different thoughts. And it wasn't until I came to the West, even though it was a manifestation of supernaturalism that I was terrified of. The Indians are extremely aware of the supernatural. In fact, I made a film called Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, because I found in the West that there are either those that totally debunk the existence of Satan and demonic spirits and negative spirits, bad spirits, and think that, you know, we have one guardian angel or spirit guides that we can call down. Whereas in India, the culture is very aware of the existence of the supernatural and that you need to appease the supernatural with your own works and altars and rituals and adorn trees or cows with flowers or, you know, whatever to help the spirits of nature to give you what you want. So the fear of growing up with a lot of the scary aspects of the demon world, the supernatural world, was instilled in me. And yet, when I returned at the age of 20, the New Age was taking place in the West. The Hare Krishna cult were on the streets of the big cities going down London. The Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was introduced through the Beatles. And then the Beatles subsequently turned us back to the East. And the musical hair was on the at the West End on the theaters there, saying that yoga was great and vegetarianism was great. And so I got sucked in through the packaging of the West into a religion that I knew was fearsome as I was growing up. But the repackaging was so incredibly deceptive. And it wasn't until a few years later where I was introduced to biblical truths and to the Bible and to Jesus Christ in a very personal way that I saw through the power of the authority of the word that the agenda of the supernatural was to completely create rebellion and chaos and confusion. And that's when I made my film Gods of the New Age and wrote the book Gods of the New Age. And 20 years later, here I am doing Yoga Uncoiled, basically to bring us up to date with the New Age movement in 20 years and how it's come into the church, a look into the practice of yoga in the church, just trying to see how its face has changed. And because its basis is the religion of evolution, there are no absolutes. Truth is always evolving. We as a divinity are always evolving. Our divine consciousness is always evolving. This is all part of Hinduism's teaching, based on evolution, based on shifting morality, based on subjectivism and no absolutes and relativity.
Well, the astounding thing, and I think this is what we can talk more about, we have to take a break in a couple minutes, but I have to say, if someone had said to me even 20 years ago when I first began doing this radio program and working in Christian radio, someone had said that we would be exposing yoga and Hinduism, or I should say the elements of this kind of worship or this kind of transformational thinking coming from the New Age within Baptist churches or within, you know, your local mega community church, I would have said that's ridiculous. You know, we're addressing the New Age here, but it's not yet in the church. I mean, but now when I look back over the last 20 years and how subtly this thing has come into the walls of evangelical churches, I am astounded at the acceleration that we're seeing, where the enemy at one time was operating free and clear of the church, and the church represented a bastion of truth against this kind of error, and now we're having complicity. We're actually having the church become the facilitator for these Eastern concepts to enter the minds and hearts of evangelical Christians here in America.
Absolutely, and I think the most important thing is to see that the names have changed. For instance, the very same things that are at the heart of yoga, Hinduism, Eastern thinking are now called contemplative prayer or visualizing on Jesus. And, you know, what the church has lost the discernment of realizing that we can't visualize Jesus in the sense of when just the story of after his resurrection, when all the apostles told Thomas that they had seen him, and Thomas said, "I absolutely will not believe you until I can put my fingers into his hands and into his side." And Jesus came and said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your fingers in my side and my hands. Here I am resurrected. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet believe." So now we're carving idols in our mind, in our imagination of Jesus, when this should absolutely not be it. Our faith should be placed in obedience to the Word and what the Word has said, not what our imaginations can conjure together.
That's so true. And yet, as you pointed out, we have churches now, the emerging church is bringing a lot of this right into church youth groups, where kids who used to be brought to church as fun junkies with, you know, pizza blast and all that kind of thing, well, that's kind of worn thin. And so a lot of these same children or young people are actually, in fact, being told that to encounter a legitimate, authentic spirituality, you have to chant the name of Jesus like 50 times until you're high on your own endorphins, or you have to sit there and use a Bible verse, a piece of a Bible verse, until you mystically hear a voice telling you which part of the verse to listen to. It's frightening. All of these things, as you pointed out, are coming into the church. We'll talk more about it with Carol Matriciana. She's our guest today. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president at the Institute for Creation Research.
Dr. Morris, today's question, the Ice Age, did it really occur?
Yes, indeed it did, Chris. We have a lot of evidence that the Ice Age started soon after Noah's flood. The once stable created Earth was thrown into such imbalance by the Great Flood that it took several hundred years for it to settle back down into its current conditions. During this period of instability, the polar ice caps built up. The primary cause of the Ice Age was greater evaporation from the warm flood oceans in the years following the flood, causing greater precipitation and ice buildup. Job, the oldest book in the Old Testament, mentions ice and snow over and over again. Evidently, Job knew about the ice up in Europe, even though it didn't cover his area. The Ice Age is a very important part of creation thinking. It fits the Back to Genesis data.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Crosstalk today with Carol Matriciana. And before we go any further, Carol, I would like people to hear a point of contact. Where can they find this DVD that we're talking about today, Yoga Uncoiled?
Thank you, Ingrid. Actually, they can go to my website, which is after my name. My name is spelled in a Swedish way, C-A-R-Y-L. So it's www.caryltv, like television, .com. And that's where all the Carol Productions movies are, and my articles and my blogs on The Secret and Harry Potter, and particularly the inroads of yoga, not only in the church, which is very, very serious, but now also being taught to our young school children in classrooms across America, where the Bible has been taken out and Christian prayer has been taken out, but Eastern prayer and yoga meditation is being done in the classrooms now.
Again, that website is CARYLTV, caroltv.com. And by the way, this place is a treasure trove. In fact, I'm not sure why we haven't interviewed you before, Carol, because you have covered so many of the same subjects and information that we have tried to put out here on the Crosstalk program. I'm just excited to connect with you because these are extremely well-made, high-quality television documentaries where you see, like, the DVD specials. You've got Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, The New Barbarians, Gods of Entertainment. That's a whole subject right in itself. Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged. You have Supernatural Powers, you have The Da Vinci Code, Dark Side of Halloween, so much information, so many things available on your website. Please, if you're really concerned about these things, this is the place to find these kinds of items. And a lot of times today you find people don't want to read books. You know, you try to get someone to read a full-length book on a certain topic, and everyone's so burned out and trying to rush here and there. But the visual medium is so powerful, and this is a way to get this in the hands of people who are maybe being seduced by these things. And maybe they're seeing a website like this one, the Yahweh Yoga website I'm looking at right now. When I read all of the benefits that they list, the health benefits of engaging in this so-called Christian yoga, it reads like literally verbatim from the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's website. He's got a whole bunch of websites, but basically you're reading basically propaganda right off of that guy's website. And they're listing all the same reasons why you should engage in this. They're part of the Yoga Alliance, which includes everything and sundry. And they're trying to convince you that this is something you can engage in as a Christian. This is the DVD you need to get in the hands of someone who's convinced that Christian yoga is A-OK. Let's talk a little bit more about yoga. When the yoga master, I'm not sure what they call them, is it yoga master? What do they call the leader of a yoga group?
He could be a yogi. A yogi is a yoga teacher. He could be a guru, a god man, a bhagwan, which means God. You see, the whole design of yoga is basically to awaken yourself. What Hinduism believes is that you're separated from divinity through your ignorance. So what you need to do is awaken your ignorance and embrace the fact that you are divinity. Go find the divine spark within yourself, the fire, alight the glow. And this is done in a yoga position through cross legs, keeping still, closing your eyes, putting your palms up, getting rested, putting your mind into neutral in essence, and awakening what is called the snake power that they believe is laying coiled in each of us. And you awaken this kundalini power, this snake power, this cobra power that is seen to be the wisdom of all divinity. Awaken it, push it up through your wheels, psychic energies that are placed along the spine, up towards your mind, through an altered state of consciousness and through self-hypnosis, through breathing techniques, through imagining your breath going in and out, imagining your calmness, your blood flowing, all this sort of self-hypnosis, that you can eventually awaken the snake power up to your third eye that gives you enlightenment, that you are in the presence of God, divinity yourself, that one and all. But the cunningness of this is that it's called Christ consciousness or Jesus within in the Christian world. And so what's happening is that Jesus is being called a force or a sort of the universal consciousness. It becomes a neutral force rather than an individual personal being. And to think that you can conjure the God of the universe through your mind, through self-hypnosis, and sort of align yourself with them. These are two totally different, worlds apart techniques. And in Hinduism Today, which is a leading Indian publication, they wrote some time ago, they admit that Hinduism is the soul of yoga, and this is quotes, based as it is on Hindu scripture and developed by Hindu sages, yoga opens up new and more refined states of mind. To understand them, one needs to believe in and understand the Hindu way of looking at God. A Christian trying to adapt these practices will likely disrupt their own Christian beliefs. This is a warning from Hinduism Today. You cannot be involved in both religions.
Amazing. Well, you know, when one of the first things the yogi does is bow to his the participants and says namaste, which means I bow to the divine within you. And I questioned a Baptist yoga leader. I said to her, well, you know, tell me how it is that you do this. She claimed that, well, you know, when I'm just referring to my Jesus is bowing to the Jesus in you, which is kind of problematic to begin with. But she said, well, I also do this at the Parks and Rec Department across town. So I said, well, how do you do that with non-believers if you claim that you're bowing to Christ within the others? How do you do that when you have non-Christians you're helping with yoga on your Saturdays off from the Baptist yoga classes? And she said, well, I don't know about that. That's a good question. But all of it's twisted because, as you point out, it has nothing to do, remotely to do with Christianity. It's at odds with Christianity. And yet we have some deluded souls who really believe that this is the way to encounter Christ. Why, Carol? Why is there such rebellion to move away from a word, the word of God, from a word a discovery of Christ, from finding him in his own word? Why are people so interested in feeling and experiencing him?
Well, Ingrid, I think you sort of said it. People haven't got enough time today. They want to quickly look at videos. They don't have time to read books. They don't have time to read the word. They don't have time to quietly work hard, in essence, to be still and know that I am Lord and be subject to his authority and the word of God. You know, we've been trained that you flip a calendar and you've got your verse for today. You've got your little word for today on the radio, a little two-minute drive from here to there. It's been so minimalized and so cheapened. That's one thing. And I think also the idea of experiencing something has become greater and greater. In my movie, Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, I tried to start somewhere that would sort of our soccer mums and those in their 30s and 40s could identify with, and most people can identify with the 60s, which doesn't seem too far away. And that basically was the time that the Beatles were a huge rage globally, and they started, as they became more and more disenchanted with the crowd adoration that they were getting and the amount of money and the amount of traveling, they started getting involved in drugs, hallucinogenics. And that was the sort of time of the hippie culture. And everybody, through drugs, through drug consciousness, through sort of a different awareness, through drugs opening them up, started looking to Eastern mysticism. And at that time, the gurus of India started flooding America and Europe, and gurus, bhagwans, the idea of reincarnation. These concepts were not known mainstream in the early 60s. Reincarnation, vegetarianism, feminism, diva worship, God worship, all these have been concepts that have just come up in the last two decades, perhaps. And the 60s opened the doorways when the Beatles said that they were flown over to India by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and they said, we have been called leaders of youth, and we would now like to lead youth in something that could still their minds, that we believe is very powerful. And you don't need to call it religion if you don't want to call it religion. It's just a mind thing. So the mind sciences started coming into our culture. More and more Hinduism started calling itself scientific, saying that stress reduction, you could see scientifically that through the practice of yoga, stress had been, helped to decrease, this was helped to increase, and all this scientific propaganda, which really, if you look at it from other scientific data, completely disproves what those that purport yoga to be helpful you can see that it is actually very unhealthful and very unhelpful. And really, the idea of sort of tapping into supernatural powers and asking, inviting supernatural powers to come into you by worshiping them, even through ignorance, even if you say namaste through ignorance, and invite these, what the Bible calls powers and principalities, forces of nature, to come in and give you power to help you calm down, of course they'll come. And if you call them Jesus, who cares? It doesn't matter. I went to India. I interviewed the Hindus. I interviewed Indians who are experts on yoga. I interviewed yoga practitioners asking if they could separate the physical aspects of yoga from the spiritual aspects of yoga. They said, absolutely not. And Pandit Motilal Nehru, I didn't interview him because he's a long time dead, but he was one of the great Indian philosophers and authorities on yoga. And he said that the aim of yoga is to realize liberation from the human condition. So here is a system of yoga getting you free from sin. He says to achieve this liberation, various psychological, physical, mental, and mystical methods have been devised. All those methods are antisocial in that yoga prescribes a way of life which says this mortal life is not worth living. And that's exactly the message of yoga, that it was the fourth stage of life that the Orthodox Hindus got into yoga to prepare them for reincarnation. It was an exercise of death to prepare you how to die physically, mentally, emotionally, to prepare you for reincarnation. But somehow now it's become packaged as a exercise for life, and here you get people tapping into spiritual powers, and they say, well, I'm only into it for stretching. Well, then I say, well, is there ever a time in your stretching exercises that you're told to sit quietly, calm your mind, think about something, meditate on something? Yes, they say, and when I'm told to do that, I meditate on Jesus or a Bible verse. Well, there you have now come into a spiritual exercise. So it's not merely stretching and exercise. It's like sort of going to the military. When you join the army, when kids join the army or anybody joins the army, basically the army's purpose is to teach you how to kill. One of the side benefits of the army is that you get health care and you get good workouts, but certainly people don't join the army for good workouts.
Right. Hopefully not. Oh, that's so true. That's a very good analogy, and yet that's what we have. They're playing with dynamite. These people really are, spiritually speaking, and the problem is that very few Christians are aware of exactly what yoga is, and there's so much propaganda out there from people like the people. And of course, it's Yahweh Yoga is just one of many Christian groups doing yoga now. They're all kind of competing for attention now that this is this great renaissance of yoga is taking place worldwide. Any idea how much yoga is going on? I mean, you said something like there are 70,000 yoga teachers now working in 20,000 locations.
20,000 locations across America, and I'm sure it's grown even since I made this movie that only came out a few months ago.
That's right. Well, if you'd like to access this DVD, we're talking about Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, caryltv.com. It's caryltv.com. We'll be right back.
Have you struggled in your personal Bible study? Have you felt like you lack the necessary tools to study God's Word for yourself? Many have felt this way, and as a result, neglect getting into the Scripture. If you have struggled with this, or are wanting to teach someone else how to mine the precious nuggets found in God's Word, VCY America introduces you to the book, How to Study the Bible for Yourself. This easy-to-use guide will help you develop the skills that will make your time in God's Word richly rewarding. You'll learn to find the Bible's major themes, principles, and promises, how to understand key teachings, and to cultivate strong Bible study habits. Easy-to-understand charts, fill-in outlines, and practical suggestions will all be found in this book. To obtain your copy of How to Study the Bible for Yourself, send a donation of $15 or more to VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Thank you.
Welcome back to Crosstalk today. We are talking about what yoga actually is, and I believe that this Yoga Uncoiled from East to West movie that has been produced by our guest today, Carol Matriciana, needs to be widely screened, widely shown, and I'm praying that we'll get an opportunity to show this on our TV station as well and promote it ahead of time for people that are just clueless about where all this has come from. There's so much ignorance about yoga and about Eastern mysticism in general today, which explains why so much of it's boldly marching into evangelical churches, and pastors are hardly blinking an eyelid. In fact, some pastors, like Rob Bell of the church in his Mars Hill Church over in Michigan, actually is leading his congregation in breath exercises. I, in fact, listened to one emerging church called Bluer, that's the name of the church, Bluer, don't ask me where, true blue, and they called the church Bluer, it's an emergent church thing. Anyway, the pastor actually, I listened as he led the congregation in a 5.5 minute breath exercise where he was literally guided imagery. This calm voice kept coming, telling these people what to do, to deeply breathe, all of this kind of thing. And I thought to myself, this is nothing but Eastern mysticism, Eastern meditation, Eastern style meditation. And it's right here. It's in our churches, and our guest Carol today concurs with that. Carol, I want to open our phone lines right now in case our listeners would like to ask you some questions on this issue or have a comment on our topic today. 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. I also wanted to ask, do you have any other contact? Do you have a phone number or something also that listeners could call?
Yes, I do. 951, which is in Southern California, 301-1101. And they can place orders through that line. They can ask questions or email me at Caryl, C-A-R-Y-L, at Caryl. Matriciana, my last name is MatriciCiana.com.
Okay, all right. Well, good. I hope that people are taking advantage of this today. We're going to be going to our phone calls. Let's see, we have a listener on line one. Hi, welcome to Crosstalk today.
Hi, I missed your screener.
Yeah, I missed him too. He disappeared. Go right ahead.
Okay. That's okay. My question was, as a former Word of Faith person, I had read some like Kenneth Hagin books where, you know, he was claiming that Jesus came and sat at his feet and asked him, "What can I do for you?" And, you know, in other words, Jesus was wanting to serve, you know, him and, you know, his wants. And that whole Word Faith movement where Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, they have this thing where they pray Jesus into the room. And to me, I have to thank God that I was awakened to it from some of the material that I've seen on VCY. But what is the connection with that? And I'll hang up and listen to the answer off the air, okay?
Yes, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Mick, M-I-C-K. I'm calling from West Allis, Wisconsin.
Oh, hi, Mick. Okay.
Hi.
That's a very, very good question. And basically, this concept is an Eastern concept of having faith in your own faith. We're told that there is no good thing within us. Our hearts are deceptively wicked, says Jeremiah 17. The Lord said, out of our hearts, out of our mouths comes what's in our hearts. So there is no point looking within ourselves for anything good. We look out. Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life. So our faith should be absolutely squarely placed on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, and only through his work, which we're told about in the Bible, his work on the cross where he denied himself and abided in his Father, is the essence of, is where all peace is. So once we start looking within ourselves through guided imagery, calling on another Jesus, we're calling on spiritual guides to guide us through a type of imagery, through self-hypnosis, through our own faith, through whatever rituals they are. And this is extremely dangerous. In a movie I made called Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, I explain the history of angels through Ezekiel and through Isaiah, how the Lord created the angels, what their duty was. The ones that stayed obedient to him are his ministering angels who work to his bidding and do what he tells them to do out of their obedience to him. Then there are the fallen angels who followed Satan through his pride, his iniquity. These fallen angels are ready to jump to our bidding. And if we want to imagine them as Jesus, that's okay. There is no good thing about imagination ever in the Bible. The Bible is never considered, has got no projection on the use of imagination being good. We're told to bring our thoughts under the discipline of Jesus Christ. Through the imagination is how Satan conned Eve, the most beautiful, sinless person, to be able to fall into his deception. So in our minds, once we start using our minds, which are completely opposed to the spirit of truth, we then fall into the error of deception. And that is what the word of faith is all about, and also the idea of yoga, that to look within, you can imagine Jesus, to look at your own breath, which is said to be the breath of the Holy Spirit, moving in and out. You visualize that moving up and down your body. Well, this is all synonymous with moving our psychic energy, the snake power, up the spine, into the mind, and then having some kind of enlightenment when one sees and feels the presence of God, which, of course, is completely in opposition to the Bible, where we don't experience or feel God. We are obedient to God's word, and through that are brought into the presence through the work of Jesus Christ, and nothing short of that.
Well, thank you, Mick, for that call. By the way, if you joined our program late today, we're talking with Carol Matriciana. She's a veteran filmmaker. She has contributed research and expertise to more than 30 documentaries in over 25 years, and for the past 23 years, she was the creative and marketing director for Jeremiah Films, a Southern California film company, and she is involved in so many fine productions that really are so timely on all of the issues affecting the church today, dealing with the occult, dealing with New Age mysticism, and how it's affecting the church. Really, really potent material. If you would like to access her website, it's Carol. I want to get this right, caroltv.com, and Carol is spelled CARYL TV.com, if you'd like to see all the various things that she has worked on. We're going right now. By the way, this is day one of 2 days of programming here on Crosstalk. Tomorrow, Carol will be joining us again, Lord willing, to talk about the latest and the last, hopefully, Harry Potter, a book that's coming out in July. There's a big media hoo-ha over this, and unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who enjoy scorning those of us who raise the alarm about the occult in children's material. It's a huge doorway to the occult. We'll be talking about Harry Potter and Christians tomorrow on Crosstalk, so don't miss that as well. You can also get both of these CDs or cassette tapes of the Crosstalk program, both day one and day two, by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. In fact, you can even do that today and just say, I want day one and day two of the Carol Matriciana series on Crosstalk. So we're going back to the phones right now. Christine from Pottstown, Pennsylvania has been waiting. Hi, Christine.
Hello. There is a Pastor Joseph Chambers that produced a documentary about some of his own sort of denomination, and he refuted the activities of that type of thing in, you know, the holy laughter and all. And I don't know if you've seen it or consider it valid, but it was pretty persuasive. But I know that, you know, there are some things that can be manipulated. Anyway, I just wonder if, I mean, I believe that there are some, let me say, charismatics that have a valid zeal, but there's a certain Mark Sharona whose intro to his program is kind of chilling, because he talks about, it seems like, materializing things, or it's a word, faith, you know, doctrine. Do these people tend to go toward the yoga and the mind-bending things, you know, without centering on the Word of God?
Well, Christine, there are many, many questions within what you've said. I actually have not seen Joseph Chambers' work or this Mark Sharona. I can talk very generally that, first of all, just so that we're not confused, the word yoga is a Hindu Sanskrit word, and yoga means to yoke, and to yoke with God. Who? What God? It's the Hindu consciousness, the Hindu God, which is the whole idea that nature is divine, that divinity is in animals, human beings, in everything. In a biblical sense, Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual forces in wickedness, in darkness, in high places. So these are the powers and principalities that the Hindu word yoga tells us to yoke with. And these powers and principalities are able to come into you if you open up doorways through stilling yourself, quieting yourself, breathing in and out, focusing on them, visualizing them, asking them to come into you, and they will give you incredible experiences. So the power of these experiences is not what any of us should negate. Because when Jesus was in the desert, when Satan came to him, took him up to a high place and said, I have authority to give you all of this. I have the power to give you all of this if you will just worship me. Jesus did not say to him, you don't have any power and authority. Of course, we know that God gives all power and authority. But Jesus understood that the power of the God of the air, Satan himself, who was thrown down like a lightning bolt, Jesus saw him falling down at the end of the battle of the heavens. But the battle in the earth has just begun. Satan roams around here like a roaring lion, waiting to devour us through deception, manipulation. And even though he can't be everywhere, as I explain in my film Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, he has got one-third of the angels that fell with him, and they can be wherever he tells them to go and work at his bid and his bidding and calling. So these are the things that are working in us, telling us that we have power within ourselves, that we can call these beings, that we can have what we want. And we're told in the last days, Jesus said in the last days, one of the signs of the last days is that there would be signs and wonders. So these signs and wonders, many times that are being worked through men that are not walking in the word of God, they're manipulating the word of God. They're using the power of the Word of God, and we know that there's power in the Word, but they're manipulating it for their own gain. Paul warned about such people in the New Testament, that there were those that were manipulating the Word for their own gain. They were deceptive teachers. There were doctrines of demons that were around. These are what we see, and the only way that we can discern it is through the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, and we have to die to self. Not conjure up, not try and look for self-care needs, transformational thinking to make ourselves better. This is what we've got to deny self, decrease, and let the Lord increase. Amen. So these are the things that we have to be very, very careful of in the last days. Anything that tells us self-gratification, self-esteem, self-awareness, these are things we have to be careful of.
Thank you, Christine. We're going to take a break and get back to the phones. We have some more callers online, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Here's Rick Grubbs with Redeeming the Time.
I recently heard a man say that he knew his family always had plenty to eat when he was growing up, because when he would ask for more, his mother would say, "Oh no, you've already had plenty." Well, truthfully, almost none of us in Western countries today could truly be considered poor when compared with other parts of the world. At least, not poor as defined by our standard of living. But still, many of us are trapped in a different type of poverty. We are time poor. We have all the gadgets, all the whistles and bells, all the expensive toys, but still no time. We're always complaining about how busy we are and how we don't have time to get it all done, when the real problem is misplaced priorities that crowd out God, His Word, and our families. If you're time poor today, evaluate what's really important so you can redeem the time.
Redeeming the Time with Rick Grubbs from LifeChangingSeminars.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to Crosstalk. We're going to the phones in just a moment. I wanted to comment. I have a blog that is read and sometimes stirs up a bit of controversy, but my sliceoflaodicea.com blog has detailed the overwhelming interest in Christian comedians going on in churches today. In fact, Ted Haggard had barely resigned from his church pulpit after consorting with a gay prostitute when 5 days later his church sponsored a laugh-in with a bunch of comedians that had been scheduled. They decided to go ahead because, quote, everyone needed to lighten up. In fact, today I just, or yesterday, just posted an article from the Christian Post detailing the growth industry that Christian comedians are today. Everyone's laughing. Christian comedy is real big. I would submit to you that while Christians are laughing their sides off, the enemy's walking right in the front door. And people say, oh, Ingrid, you know, you need to lighten up. You know, we Christians need to laugh, too. Well, of course, Christians need to keep their sense of humor. That goes without saying. But when the church is scheduling laugh-ins while their women are out doing yoga in the fellowship hall, I think it says a whole lot about the level of discernment and the level of sobriety or lack thereof in the church today. It's concerning. It concerns me greatly, and that's one of the reasons why I say, while we're laughing, the enemy is having a field day in our churches, and that is why we have really taken a stand at this network, Radio Network 2. The Christian radio airtime needs to be taken very seriously. We have a limited time, I believe, in which we're going to be allowed to speak freely on these issues, and we need to make sure we use it wisely. Well, we are going to the phones right now, and we have our next caller is Jeff from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Crosstalk.
Thank you. Just want to say great program today. I just briefly, I was raised in a Catholic home, went to church 4 days a week for 6 years. Unfortunately, it was devoid of the Holy Spirit and the gospel, so I had a huge vacuum. Joined the Army. I eventually got into, when I got out, I got into Iyengar Yoga, BKS Iyengar Yoga. His book was called Light on Yoga. I remember just becoming a vegetarian, almost stopped eating, kind of passing out one time while I was doing yoga. Moved to Madison eventually and got into the New Age movement. And if people don't think this is real, they're fooling themselves, because until I was 40 on my suicidal deathbed, when God showed me I was trying to kill myself, God showed me I was a liar, and he showed me the bottomless pit, actually. And basically the New Age movement is not new. And I just want to say that I appreciate what you're saying, but what happened then was I was filled with so many demons that I was in and out of psych wards. Even though I knew Christ was my only hope for sanity, it didn't just happen overnight to be, exercised, as you'd say. It took 3.5 years of being on meds, trying to get off of them, and just holding on to the promises of God when the church, my family, and the doctors are saying, Jeff, you had a nervous breakdown, you're going to be on meds for the rest of your life. So I'm saying this just to warn people that, we have a Christian culture that's really heavy into psych meds and anxiety meds and stuff like that. So we just have to look at the doors that we have opened. We need to, close those doors. And like you say, the doors are being kind of flung open to the, this yoga movement. So I would just say quickly, they're talking about light, but we have to remember that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So keep up your work, Carol. It's awesome that you're bringing the truth to this. So thank you.
Well, Jeff, thank you so very much for your encouragement, and I think that's a very important thing that you've said. First of all, I praise God for using suffering in your life to take you to the truth of him. And, that's the most incredible thing about a loving God, that he takes all the suffering and chaos and junk around us to lead us to the true light, to the true life, to the true way, which is only Jesus Christ. And the next point that you made was extremely important for us to know, is that Satan is both an angel of light from this side of the spectrum, right to the dragon of old and the serpent of old and the darkness and the pit and Satan himself. So he has a huge range of variations that come through deception, manipulation. He's a roaring lion. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a murderer. He's a liar. All of these are his characteristics. But in James, it says that our Father, Jesus' Father, the God of Jesus, has no variation in him. He is absolutely a God of no shadows. He is all good. He is all light. And we can have perfect light by being rooted in him, through him, in Jesus, who called himself the light. So all these different yogas that connect into the counterfeits that Satan gives us in counterfeit peace, counterfeit healing, this vegetarianism kick. And like Jeff, I also was into vegetarianism, feminism, yoga, the occult. And yet I was raised in a culture to know how wicked it all was. And yet with its repackaging to the east, to the west, fell prey to this incredibly seductive packaging. So, you know, be aware, everybody, as iron sharpens iron, keep in fellowship with good Christians that keep us close to the word. Realize that this is a good fight, as the enemy always wants. The number one target is to get us not to submit to the word of God, not to submit to the authority of the word. And we as Christians must put on the full armor of God so that we can stand and resist the enemy.
Amen. We're going back to the phones. Jimmy's calling from Rome, Georgia. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I just have a comment to your guest about a statement she made earlier to one of the previous callers.
Okay, very quickly.
Using the imagination.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that when C.S. Lewis wrote the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he used some of his imagination, and I understand that her comment about we have to turn our thoughts over to Christ and the Holy Spirit and let him guide them, but wasn't there some imagination in that book?
Okay, you know what, Jimmy, you know, that's an interesting question, but it really is off the topic that we're dealing with today. C.S. Lewis and his books would probably be something we could talk about at a different time. I'm not trying to be unkind here, but I know that that takes us in a whole different direction. I want to give our guest a chance just quickly to wrap things up in the last seconds here of Crosstalk. I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Well, Ingrid, I think we'll talk about imagination and C.S. Lewis and fantasy tomorrow when we talk about Harry Potter. That's very, very good, because fantasy
Excellent.
Literature is an important topic to focus in on. The use of imagination is very important. And meanwhile, I would love to get people just to my website, carol.tv.com, to just know and realize that yoga, there is no such thing as Christian yoga.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a cassette or CD of today's program, send a donation of $5 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast when you visit crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.